Welcome to the 2023 Virtual Region Convention and to our tool session. We will have two speakers, each of which will be speaking on the tool of literature for approximately 15 minutes, and then there will be a Q&A session afterwards of about 20 minutes. The first speaker will be Slophy. Over to you, Slophy.
Thank you. I'm Slophy. I'm a compulsive overeater from Lyon in France. I came to OA 5 years ago as I was gaining weight. And I was with my third boyfriend. And he said, well, thank you for telling me that you have a food issue, because I wouldn't be living with a fat woman. And this is how he said it. So I thought, I'm going to lose the third one again, because I meet my boyfriends when I'm slim. And then I put on weight. And the dishonesty is, if you do love me, you even love me when I'm fat. And I thought, I'm going to lose that one. Looking back on it, I think HB had already chosen the person he would speak through. And for some reason, this time, I listened. So I Googled. I was fed up with binging, with overeating sugary things, with rotting my life. I didn't want to go on one more diet. I had succeeded in losing weight, but never had I been able to keep my healthy weight, so hardly gained. I Googled and I found Overeaters Anonymous. And I thought, what's that name? Overeaters Anonymous. In French, it's Les Outre-Mangeurs Anonymes. It sounds weird. And I thought, okay, why not? I have had faith in so many stupid things. Why shouldn't I try this thing? Maybe it's not that stupid. And as I've been telling my kids during their whole education years, make yourself your own opinion. And you can't say it doesn't work until you've tried. So I said, I'll try. And I did. I was blessed enough to be given abstinence after 6 meetings, which I heard were suggested for me to decide if OA was made for me. I heard, keep an open mind. I heard, take what you want and leave the rest. And I lost that weight that was not healthy in a little more than 6 months' time. And the first miracle was from January 2019, I have kept that healthy weight. So, what were the first tools that I used? Because I didn't work the steps until one more year from that moment. I thought, I'm going to do it myself. I don't need any sponsor or anything. What can I use that I can use myself? There were meetings. And this is really definitely one of the most important tools for me. But they said literature. Okay, literature. So what I did is the first thing I did is I ordered a book. Before there was no literature servant in our meeting. It was a very small meeting, like 5 persons. So I ordered a book online and I got this. Lifeline Sampler in English. And I thought, what is this thing? I looked at the pages and they were all people talking back to 1980s. I said, this is not up to date. This is, you know, I've been fooled. Mm-mm. This was HB's first gift. And it's in English, by the way. So I read a few of these before going to my first meetings, before I had the courage to go to my first meetings. And looking back on it, I bet it helped. And then when I came to my first meetings, a friend in the meeting offered me, or lended me at that time, this book. Abstinence. And I said, well, abstinence. I still need to eat, right? Or I'm going to die. But I had heard open mind. So I went through it. And hope, positivity, experience, strength. This is what I found page after page in this book. And I started scratching my head like, mm-mm. And then I had to go for my summer holidays. And I bought my first book. And it was, I wanted something small, you know, something handy. So I bought this thing for today. And this was so rich. There was spirituality in it, but not only spirituality. I related a lot to what was in this little book, one day at a time. It would be read easily. It wouldn't take a lot of time for me. And it fed me. One day at a time. And from then on, it started clicking. You know, like when you do a jigsaw puzzle. I still don't understand fully how the program works. But I am the living proof that it does. And so I read these books. Then I was offered by my sponsor this big book, very not handy. And I thought, oh, I would have so much liked her to offer me the smaller version of it. How can I go on holidays with this thing? And I read it. And it was written Alcoholic Anonymous. I thought, well, I'm not an alcoholic. Why should I work with this book? And she's my sponsor. I'm so grateful to her. 40 years in OA. Abstinent. I thought, well, she's got experience, strength, and hope. I'd better trust that. And so I worked. Also with the big book. And this is where I got to know about literature. Then I learned about service, and I learned that it's a good idea that meetings have a literature servant. So I volunteered. And I got interested in whichever literature OA provides. And there are so many beautiful books to be read and to feed me whenever I'm wobbly, whenever food comes back in my head. Obsessive. If I can just sit down and read just even a page or half a page, it brings me serenity all the time. And then I got to World Business Service Conference. And we talked about literature issues and how it's getting so difficult to share literature when we are not in a room. And so this is still a very important issue, how to share literature with the newcomers, with those who can't buy paper literature, with those who don't have, I'm also in another region with over 40 countries in it, region 9. How can we carry the message in all those languages? We have lots of issues with literature. How can I help protect the copyright, which is a way our fellowship can stay healthy? It's not a way to make money. It's a way to keep it able to carry the message to even more fellows who are still suffering. So sometimes it's very uncomfortable for me to say, you know, it is not encouraged to share this whole piece of literature on screen, but we are working at it. We are a fellowship, and the higher power of the fellowship will come to the best solution possible. I want to finish this speaking with a decision that was made last year at World Service Business Conference to have this little, a very new leaflet, by the way, made possible to give away for free to welcome the newcomers, to give them the basis of the program. This, I might be going emotional on that one, I'm sorry. It's been interpreted in quite a few languages. And it's so helpful when you begin. So, yeah. The work is in progress. But so far, I don't know where I would be without literature when I can't go to a meeting or when I feel like going back into myself, into my ego. Literature doesn't judge me, doesn't give me advice. It's just offered if I take the time to read it. Have I got the willingness to do that? It helps me to have it. And most of the days I have it. And I'm grateful and thankful for all those that came before me and wrote these books to share their experience, their strength, their hopes, And for all the very new books that are issued every year, and I've got a few ones here that I haven't even started. They're still in their blisters. But, you know, I'll get there. Thank you for listening to me. And thank you to all who are of service today. Thank you to HP. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so very much, Sophie. That was awesome. And I just thank you so much for sharing with us. I just want to say the pamphlet that was being shown is Where Do I Start? And now we hand over to Natasha. Thank you very much, Natasha.
Hi, my name's Natasha. I'm a compulsive eater. What a privilege to be here today. Thank you to everyone doing service. My journey in recovery started nearly 12 and a half years ago in terms of OA recovery. And I came into recovery feeling rather broken and lost. Definitely over-exercising, under-eating, with periods of uncontrolled eating. And more than that, just an innate self-hatred that I couldn't shake. I didn't know where it came from. It was just there. And it also took me to very dark places within myself, where I didn't really know the way out. And it was incidentally in my third year of university when I was living alone. I was in Paris and studying abroad. And I had this sense that I could so easily go rogue with my eating disorder and no one would be able to tell me otherwise. And I realized that I needed to do something differently. Otherwise, I was really going to lose even more of myself. And I happened to look up OA online, I think. How did I find it? I think I looked in terms of, like, I suppose the drinking fellowship. I looked up for an alternative option to that. And after a Google search, I found a meeting and I went, I think, within a week or so. But I was grateful that so much of the information that would be helpful to me was already online in terms of what's expected at a meeting. What are you likely to meet at a meeting? I wasn't ready to buy. I didn't know about literature then before I came to a meeting, not really, but I was able to answer the questions. And the longer I've been in OA, I've also really recognized the privilege to be an English speaker. And not a privilege even, just how much easier it is in a way for me. And it also reminds me of I was brought up speaking Gujarati. And if I'd stayed speaking Gujarati, I don't know how easy it would have been accessible to me to reach OA in English. And I came into recovery really not necessarily willing to change how I was. I wanted my life to change without necessarily being willing to look at everything that wasn't working. But thankfully, I kept an open mind. I kept listening. I definitely found my way through with the idea of allowing others to love me until I could love myself, and borrowing their love for me until I could cultivate that for myself. And I think that's the biggest thing that people say to me when in outreach calls, they say how loving a program I tend to speak of. And for me, I don't see, it's something that's both within me and outside of me. And it's the gift that I got given in OA, because I kept coming back, even though it felt really difficult. I didn't want to follow a food plan, even though I read the pamphlet to do with plans of eating. I remember starting by, again, keeping it simple and committing my food and working out what it needed to look like for me at that time. And then these days, it's more self-led. But it took a very long time to get to the point where I can trust my body and myself. Because after having been to lots of meetings and listened to people like you, listened and been willing to read literature between meetings. So for me, literature is very much that meeting between a meeting. It's very much an accessible version of a meeting in the middle of the night when my mind was racing, and instead of over-exercising, I turned my thoughts to how I could be more helpful to myself, and literature filled that gap. The literature has always sort of been that anchor for me. So when I've felt a bit stuck in not being able to answer some of the questions, for example, if my sponsor had set me some, actually reading and hearing other people's journeys helped me to find my way back to my truth. It took a while for me to recognize that a lot of my life experiences had contributed to my becoming distanced from myself. And that distance, that gap between me and the real me and the outside me that I presented to the world, that gap was what I filled with my compulsive overeating, undereating, and overexercising. And it took coming to meetings and allowing that gap to be filled with good again and positive things in the world again, and allowing myself to almost create, it's a bit like when you're sewing, to create those threads that brought me back to myself. And literature seemed to do that in a way that sometimes listening didn't always. And by listening to the voices through literature, I was able to see that there's a way out. And especially in the middle of the night, when I wasn't, Zoom wasn't as much a thing in early recovery for me, I was able to read other people's struggles with finding their higher power and finding a plan of eating that worked for them, and finding meetings where they felt like they were being met with people that they resonated with. I came into recovery as a 21-year-old human, feeling quite lost and as if, oh, maybe it wasn't bad enough. And I think I had to recognize that I didn't need to be in hospital in order for me to allow myself to find my way out. And by reading other people's journeys, it helped me to recognize that pain is pain. And there is also there's a common thread where I understand the discomfort of others to an extent. But the beautiful part of literature is it shows me that there's also a common solution. Literature reminds me of all of the alternative loving paths available to me in recovery. In a way that I can't possibly go to as many meetings as I could read people share, and giving a voice to my inner angst. So I came into recovery not having a vocabulary for what was going on within me. And the For Today book, that was one of my favorite books, because yes, it was just a snippet of a redirect in the morning that I could kind of lean on. And what else really resonated with me? The Lifeline sampler, that's another one of my favorites, because it is almost like having access to however many meetings in my hands at all times. And I also started working through the 40-day workbook when I first came into recovery. And I also have had access to Lifeline samplers. So for people that have never seen them, they're magazines that are maybe A5 size. It's another way of having access to meetings when meetings are not available. And I have definitely, especially in my time with Region 9, which has been short, I've definitely been very awakened to the fact that literature in other languages is still very much a work in progress. And I was speaking to someone in Lithuania earlier today, and they're setting up one of their first meetings that they know of. And they're not ready for an intergroup yet. But she said, you know, the day that we can get our literature in our own voices will be amazing. And it really, I suppose it really got me when I heard her saying, you know, we haven't even got as far as thinking about that. And it's really made me even more grateful that I have access to literature in the way that I do. And also the fact that translation services are getting better, the automated ones. But I'm also really, really aware that there's a lot to be done here still. But that's also really wonderful to me because there is so much work being done. For me, recovery has been that great connecting force that's reminded me that I'm a human being living a human experience, and life is going to be difficult no matter what language or nationality, you know, no matter what language I speak or nationality I am. And it's really helped me to not feel alone in that, and literature has always been a really big part of that. And for some reason I include spoken literature as in spoken resources within that too, in terms of speaker tapes. And the other thing that I found really helpful in terms of literature was finding what literature spoke best to me. So in my journey with working out what version of OA works for me, there is only one version, by the way. Sort of. But my, for example, my food plan looks very, very different to how it looked before. But I was informed by what options there might be available to me by reading how other people worked out how to get there. And for me, the guiding principle is love, you know, loving choices only, or it's not for me today. And that includes my relationship with my higher power, my relationship with my body and movement, and any nourishment. And whenever I'm stuck, I have, you know, the solution is there. The solution is in meetings, and the solution is there written down, should I choose to access it. And I really struggled to find my higher power throughout my recovery journey for the first, I want to say 6 or 7 years. I'm not ashamed to say that at all. I really, really struggled with believing that there was something that I could connect with on a really deep, visceral level. And I came to find out what my higher power looked like for me through reading different people's experience of finding their way to that being, that force for good. And for me, it is the good in me that connects with the good in you. It is the thing that makes the flowers bloom and the trees do their thing. And it is the part of me that shows up. Even I had quite a major allergic reaction this morning. And it's been a very interesting journey to find out what that relationship with my higher power could look like. But it's through listening to the voices of other people that took the time to be vulnerable, to share and write in with their stories and share their experiences, that I was able to find what my relationship with my higher power could possibly look like, and my relationship with recovery more than anything else. Because there were times when I felt like, oh, but I haven't met many people from my cultural heritage, my cultural background in recovery. And actually, again, by being exposed to so many different voices through the literature, I was really able to see that I didn't need to see people that necessarily looked like me in order to know that I fitted in and that I belonged. It was my heart and my intention and, you know, my journey that mattered most. And I've really been inspired, really, really inspired by some of the experiences that people have shared in relation to grappling with, well, I don't want to be in a meeting, but I am. You know, having smart feet, having the courage to try anyway, having been told for however long in their lives that they'll never amount to anything, they won't lose the weight, they're not worth whatever, they're not worth the effort. And actually, for me, through reading the literature and hearing other people, I have been consistently reminded that I am worth taking care of. I deserve to be well and supported and nurtured in life so that I can then give away what I have so freely been given. And that's the gift that I get in this space. And it's the gift that literature reaffirms to me when I somehow sometimes lose my way. Thank you.
Thank you so very much, Natasha, for sharing with us. That was really wonderful to just know that we all belong here. Thank you for making that so clear. Let us move over. If anyone's got any questions, the first question that we have here is, what do you think of the workbooks? Do you think they are more helpful than to study steps with the AA Big Book?
I'll go ahead on that one. Thank you for the question. That's a lovely one. I followed what my sponsor suggested I do. So we did work with the workbooks of the 12 steps, the brown one, until the third step, and then step 4, 5, and 6 were her personal mix of the workbook and the big book. And then we came back to the workbook, the OA workbook, with a special thanks to the special fourth step workbook, which is quite detailed and which was very helpful. I hope this helps.
Thank you so very much for that. What, Natasha, do you have anything to say about the workbooks?
I think I benefited from using a combination of workbook and big book. I did start working with the 4-day workbook and the 12-step workbook of OA. And then we use the big book too. I've done the steps a number of times. It's very much a matter of, yes, going along with how my sponsor sponsors. So a lot of it was guided by asking the person that I resonated with that was willing to work with me as a sponsor, asking them how they worked it. And usually they can sponsor the way that they've been sponsored. So it's always been a mixture for me. But I will say that with the just using the 12 steps and 12 traditions of OA separately to the workbook, you know, the A5 book was helpful enough because that gives so many questions as well. So I predominantly started there with my first sponsor because that gives quite an in-depth. So I used that one, but I also just use, you know, the usual 12 and 12 also has lots of questions, you know, did I do this? Did I behave this way? So that has lots of prompts. And actually, that's how I started with my first OA sponsor, is I just used that book and then a bit of the AA big book as a kind of helper, especially with step 4 and step 8 and 9. So a mixture is probably my answer. Thank you.
Thank you so much for that. And I think we have spoken about this, but someone would like to know, what is your daily routine around literature? Do you have a routine that's set?
I really like this question. So my daily routine and around literature. So my daily routine starts with, and this is just mine, breath work and getting grounded. I listen to guided meditations, and then I read my literature, and then I sit in stillness. I know that's a bit complicated, but usually I have to be in a space where I'm able to really connect with my literature before it sinks in. And then I usually sit in a little bit of quiet time to kind of reflect on the literature. I often would take a photograph of the reading of the day. And so I would have it with me through the day when I was on the train on the way to work. And I would then go back and have a look at it again to see if anything else has come up for me. Yeah, I think that's the main thing with literature.
Thank you for this question. I think I've got two bases on everyday basis. One is for today and the other one is Voices of Recovery. And I read or I listen to sometimes. I have an audio that I have recorded for myself for the same reasons as Natasha. And I listen to these at least once in the day. It's my intention is to have it in the morning, but sometimes I can't or I don't take enough time. So then, having it recorded for myself, it enables me, like, when I'm in the traffic jam, you know, and I'm getting like, to slow down and go back to a peaceful place. Thank you. I hope it helps.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for that. Another question. What is your favorite book?
Well, I'll take that one. They're all so uniting in the solution, because there is a solution. But I would say the one I've been building on one day at a time for 5 years, and hopefully for a very long time to come, is the 12th step and the 12th tradition of OA that has just been updated in a new version. And I can't wait to read it in French. I'm expecting it. It's supposed to arrive in a few days from now. So I'm so thankful to our Canadian friends who work on that so hardly. But yes, this is my rock, I'd say. Thank you.
Thank you, Sophie. Natasha?
If it's in terms of daily readers, my favorite is the For Today book, which is the little white book. If it is to prompt self-discovery, so if I'm working on a particular step and trying to kind of keep my mind focused on that particular step, then the 12 steps and 12 traditions book is quite helpful at keeping me kind of focused on the area that I'm focusing on in my recovery. But I do find that I can't just have a favorite one. It depends what the purpose is, I suppose. But yes, if I had to choose two books, please let me have two, then it would probably be those two. I say the For Today book because quite often it will give my mind an anchor for the day in order to be able to do the work that I do with the 12 and 12. I have to have the right mindset in order to get anything done. Thank you.
Thank you so much for that. We are living in a virtual world. And I'm just wondering what your take is on podcasts and movies on the computer, and do you listen to those kind of things as well, or with literature being more than just paper books?
I can go first if that's helpful. So there are. I'm only really acquainted with the OAGB website for the most part, I think. So I do listen to speaker tapes anyway through that website in particular. And there are, I'm going to say this tentatively, I think they're not OA approved, but they are apps that have speaker tapes within them. Do I like listening to podcasts and benefit from listening to speakers? Yes. In short, yes. It's a different way of accessing other people's stories when I'm too tired to read. And also it allows me to hear the nuances of the intended speaker in their own voice rather than working out what the tone was while I was reading. So yes, I think accessing literature in that way is also helpful. I think I benefit from a combination still, if I'm perfectly honest. And I think if I had to choose between them, I think it would still be written literature. Because for me, my program is very much about finding out what my higher power wants for me today. And that that's better found by not having anyone else put their own tone or opinion on something and just reading what's already there in, I don't know, let my higher power reveal what I need to know. But I get that from listening too. So, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Natasha. Thank you for the question. I think these new ways of listening to experience strength and hope are very handy and comfortable and helpful and can be a good, I don't know if the correct word in English, complement you know, it goes with it. All right. I do listen to some podcasts, but I love listening to those that, well, of course, that you can find on some video social media that everybody knows. And there are some daily ones, very interesting. And for really, I like these formats, but I do enjoy the podcasts on OA.org. And there are many of them. There are little videos about traditions, which are fantastic. And my favorite ones are those of Roseanne, our founder. I think I'm going to start soon to know them by heart, because I've been listening to them so many times and I share them with people. And we say, listen, if you want to listen to a voice, a real voice of recovery of the program, listen to these our founder podcasts. Thank you.
Thank you so very much for that. So if you'd just like to have a final word, please do that.
Just thinking on what I just said, reflecting on that, we do have now digital copies of many of our literature, including some of them translated into other languages than English. And this is also a very handy way of carrying my literature with me. And also, I would like to extend my gratitude to the translation funds in OA. There is a translation fund, and any new meeting in any new country can ask for help to the World Service Organization to help them translate literature into their own local language. And this is so priceless. I mean, this is a treasure. And I haven't known that for a long time, actually. So I'm grateful for this news. It's a good news.
Thank you so much, Flopie. Natasha, any final words from you?
That's incredible news, Sophie. I didn't know that. I think, to keep it simple, if you've not yet found the literature for you or the voice that resonates with you yet, it's out there. Like, it is there. I keep coming back. The answers will come. I really needed to remember, like I said earlier, borrow the love that is here. Take it with you. Things don't need to be perfect to be good enough. And just keep coming back. Keep coming back. You're always welcome in this space, because there are things I needed to hear. So, yeah, that's it.
Thank you to everyone again.
Yeah, thank you to everyone again for being here and for doing service.
You guys were really awesome. So thank you very much.